The Bill Myers Show podcast is sponsored by Clouser Drilling. They've been leading the way in Southern Oregon well drilling for over 50 years. Find out more about them at clouserdrilling.com.
Here's Bill Myers.
Good morning and happy Conspiracy Theory Thursday for August 29th, 56 degrees. It's going to be a hot day in mid to upper 90s and 101 or so for tomorrow. It starts cooling down, relatively speaking, for Labor Day weekend. A final broadcast day for me this week. Tomorrow, Hugh Hewitt will fill in for me, and also on Monday's Labor Day show. I'll be heading out a little bit later this morning and hitting the skies, and they're talking about how TSA is going to be so busy, and everybody's traveling, and yeah, I know. I don't know if this was a good idea or not, but heading out to the high school reunion, getting a chance to see my sister, Diana, who I have not really seen much since before my father died 11 years ago, so... it's a good chance to get back in touch with some of the old Ohio roots and see how old all those people are that I went to school with. And I can't be this old. I am this old. Okay. But anyway, 45 years. 45 years. My, how the years have flown. Okay. Boy, had an interesting situation last night. Interstate 5 backed up from miles last night. Ends up a couple of semis had tangled it up. And that was, after Blackwell, between the Blackwell Hill exit and also Gold Hill is the northbound one. We got caught in that a little bit, my boss and I. And of course, that's another story in and of itself. But everybody's okay. But yeah, the traffic was really gummed up there for quite some time. And they got it cleared up. It took a while. They had to, even when you're getting big wreckers in to tow semis out, yeah, that's a big deal. Fortunately, not too many people hurt on that one, or nobody hurt really other than their time from the sounds of it at this point. But the reason why I was stuck in traffic last night with my boss, George, is an interesting story in and of itself. And kind of, and I hate to use that term, teachable moment, like Barack Obama used to do when he was always lecturing us back then. But it really was a teachable moment yesterday, because what is something that I myself... on my show and with various guests that I have on from time to time, what am I always preaching or talking about? That we need to be prepared for the little emergencies and the other weirdness, the things when Mr. Murphy can end up just rearing his ugly head and just completely screwing your day, right? And we got bit hard by Mr. Murphy. That's why I was stuck in that traffic 7 o'clock last night when I should have been home getting ready and packing my my bags for today's flight, that sort of thing. So I was at Nugget Butte in Gold Hill working on a transmitter. We got things working. It had taken damage from Pacific Power. I told you about that before. That's another story. I'm sure Pacific Power is going to say, it wasn't us. It's obviously you. you know, this is the kind of conversations I'm sure the lawyers are going to be having about this. But anyway, on the way back down, coming back down, and of course, you can't get on these roads that we go on. It's BLM roads. It's behind the water tank. It's like the water tank trail if you live in the city of Gold Hill, and it's not a lot of access up there. Some people do hike up there, but it's a slog. It's a slog to get up there. Very steep and very rocky, slide-prone roads that are up there. So no big deal. Been doing that 15, 20 years. Been driving up there. I could almost do it with my eyes blindfolded, but not that I would ever do something that silly. But on the way down, I'm crawling and things are going just fine. And then on the worst part, below one of the cell sites, a sharp rock ends up slicing through the sidewall of my right front tire on the 4Runner. And so, boom, down on the rim. And I realize, oh, this is not feeling good. So, pull over there. And it's like, no problem. We're just going to, I guess we're going to have to try to unpack things. But I wasn't sure. I had never really checked out what gear that I had in there to fix a tire. Been driving that thing for 15, 16 years, like I said. Never really checked it. I should have, because the last engineer prior to me took out the jack and took out the little cranky thing so you could get the spare tire down and took out the jack handle. It's supposed to be stored under the back seat, and it wasn't there. There they were. The straps were there, but nothing was there. And I'll tell you. So anyway, I go rooting through the toolkit, and I found some socket, you know, a big enough socket that I could start busting the lug nuts loose. But I call my boss George, and George brings his truck up there, and you're not really in a great spot to try to jack it up on the side of a forest road, that sort of thing. It's just it's sort of soft, but we finally got it kind of finagled. He brought some wood, and we're taking a bottle jack and putting it up there, and this and that and the other. And it was just, all right, so you did that. It's hot. It was hot yesterday afternoon there in the sun. And doing all of that, and I'm thinking about all the things I have to do. But still, if I'd had a jack, if I'd had the little cranky thing, had I had the proper lug wrench in there that was there, had I, you know, I could have just changed it and it would have been an irritant. But as it was get it off, wait for someone to come up there, finagle the jack, take it down, wait in line at Les Schwab. Thank you, Les Schwab, Central Point. You know, they were able to squeeze us in at the very last minute. And then it's back up. Then it's getting stuck in traffic on Interstate 5, but we ended up getting off of Blackwell. Then you're behind a bunch of semis as you're going up Highway 234 going into Gold Hill. It was a long night. By the time I got home, it was about 8 o'clock. I had to go take care of Mom and do various other things. And I was thinking to myself, here it is. I'm always talking about preparedness, communication, radio things, and making sure you got batteries and things to back up to backups and generators and backups to backups. But I didn't have the simple stuff. I didn't have the simple stuff for the vehicle, the jack, the spare tire tools, the lug wrench, and you know all those other things. I assure you that is certainly going to be done right now. But you know it kind of raises another survival tip that I heard from someone at some point. And they said, every now and then, maybe just try and work through your plan. If you have some kind of a plan, if you think you're reasonably well-prepared or something like that, just try working it. Okay, well, what would I do right now? Have I ever changed the tire? Fortunately, George and I are from the generation who actually still remembers how to change a tire. There aren't many of us left, I don't think. I know a lot of people are thinking there must be an app for changing the tire somewhere. But no, it takes some know-how and some physical effort, you know, those kind of things. So we got through that all. But anyway, it's a good idea maybe to go through your plan. Maybe you're thinking that you got the drinking water at home and you've got a generator and all these things. Have you started up the generator recently? Does it work? If it has a battery on it, have you kept the battery charged? Is your water fresh or is your water stale? Have you put some more bleach in it or whatever you're using to disinfect it? Do you have a way to get it out of a barrel if you have a 55-gallon tub, you know? Some people have suggested maybe one of the best things we could do to prepare is to just shut everything down at our house. You take a Saturday or a Sunday or something like that, you turn off the electricity and you turn off the water and then find out what's next. And maybe if you're going to think about your vehicle as far as preparedness, just think about today. What would you do if you had a blowout in the middle of a BLM road someplace? Although you might not be taking your family car, you know, something like that. And no, calling AAA is not being prepared. All right. Because if there was really a problem, if there's really serious problems, AAA ain't coming when disasters are happening. They're good for everything else, though. Just saying. So it was kind of, I felt kind of sheepish in a way calling my boss. Yeah, and I said, God, you know, boss, I don't think there's a jack in here. And I never really looked. See, I never really looked. I didn't work the plan. I never thought that there was a possibility. I've been driving up and down those roads for years. I don't know if you've ever had something like that happen too, but kind of a wake-up call for me. So that's my non-conspiracy theory of life, at least life on the BLM roads and going up there in the mountains, this and that and the other. But, you know, you have to figure that if you ended up having, like, big earthquakes, big problems, things like that, and then you're trying to get around and then you end up having a big blowout, what would you do? What would you do? Yeah. I was talking with my friend Ed this morning. He says, you know, Bill, instead of having the 4Runner with that the tires underneath it. It's one of those things in which you have to have the long rod to go through the bumper, and then it goes through the hole, and then it lowers the tire. He says, you got to just get a rack, put the rack on the back. And I actually agree with him. That way you're not looking for any specialized tools, or you're not worried about any mechanism getting in the way. But that was a teachable moment for me yesterday. And it was many hours. I think it was 4 or 5 hours by the time it ended up getting taken. Fortunately, it just took time. Yesterday, it just took time when I didn't really have the time to do it. But in another situation, it could be much more serious than just time. So just a teachable moment on my side. Hate to use the Obama term, but anyway, things are working again. And definitely have a plan of action for not being so ill-prepared next time. It's 21 minutes after 6. We'll go over some of the headlines here and more. 770-5633. Michael Williams joins me here in about 10 minutes. You know what's going on at Medford 549C. The school district does not want anybody talking about the SRO, the school cop, being reassigned. And so they're deciding to investigate Michael Williams instead. Yes, indeed. Michael Williams. You know what it's like? If you're a school board member, you shouldn't ask too many questions. Don't talk out of school. Just do it within the meeting. Stick with protocol. Be reasonable and just take the BS that Brett Champion or the other people that are working for the school district, the hired help, just dish at you. Yeah, that's the way that they would like it. Michael is not taking that. I'll talk with him here in just a few minutes, and we got a lot more going on. Mr. Outdoors will also join me in early edition of that as we head into this long Labor Day weekend. Also going to talk with State Representative and Grants Pass City Councilor Dwayne Junker. And the interesting part about Dwayne Junker is that last night, boy, they were just, going after this, an emergency meeting in the city of Grants Pass. It's the big battle between the people enabling the homeless and bad behavior and people that are kind of looking out for the city and wanting the parks back for the people. I know those greedy residents of Grants Pass that actually want their parks back. And they don't want dirtbaggy behavior everywhere. Imagine that. But we'll have a little conversation on that and more coming up, along with your calls and opinion, too, on Conspiracy Theory Thursday.
If your garage or overhead shop door needs service or repair, please consider American Industrial Door. They have experienced and professional technicians with a fleet of trucks that can repair and service any door or opener. And if you need advice or just have a question about your door, just give them a call or stop by either showroom. They've been your garage door experts in Southern Oregon for nearly 40 years. American Industrial Door on Crater Lake Avenue, north of Vilas Road, and on Union Avenue in Grants Pass.
Join Scotty McCreary on his Fall of Summer Tour at the Expo on Saturday, September 21st.
We wanted 5 more minutes.
The country music sensation is set to bring his chart-topping hits on full blast to the Bi-Mart Amphitheater.
A night full of electric energy and Scotty's signature charm that has made him a household name.
Number one hit after number one hit, like Damn Straight.
U Time.
In Between.
And This Is It.
This Is It.
Scotty McCreary is fired up to debut his brand new album, Fall of Summer, featuring the smash hit, Cab in a Solo.
Drinking cab in a solo, solo in the cab of my truck.
Join us for an unforgettable night of music with Scotty McCreary at the Expo on September 21st.
Tickets start at just $30 and silver reserved are only $50.
Get them now at theexpo.com.
Protect your home from costly summer heat damage. Terra Firma Foundation Systems can help. As the summer heat dries out the soil around your home, it contracts or pulls away from or pushes against your home's foundation. This can put your home's foundation at risk of shifting, sinking, or cracking. These issues worsen over time, leading to expensive repairs, but they don't have to. Don't delay. Terra Firma offers solutions to keep your home's foundation safe and stable. Visit GoTerraFirma.com. Easy online scheduling. CCB 173-547.
Hi, I'm Lamont from Orleans, and I'm on 106.7 KMED.
6:25 on Conspiracy Theory Thursday. NBC5 reporting yesterday that the Yurok tribe is celebrating the final steps in the Klamath Dam removal project. Lauren Preto writes that past and present Yurok tribal leaders gathered to watch as coffer dams were broken, allowing the Klamath River to return to its natural path. And the tribe says this project has made major steps towards healing a critical watershed for the West Coast salmon production. I find it interesting that the same Yurok tribal members are not talking about the millions of tons of sludge, which is spread all over the shoreline going down there. I'm sure that won't have any problem, right? Nothing, no problem. Yikes. The tribe also recognizes the project as a tribal justice initiative, helping to revitalize the culture and economies of several tribal nations. Yurok Tribe Vice Chairman Frankie Meyer says it is the tribe's sacred duty to its children, ancestors, and themselves to take care of the river, which was fulfilled Wednesday. So this has been fulfilled. I'm going to engage in a little bit of predictive headline making, okay? I will predict about 10 years from now, you will see Frankie Myers, whoever is the Yurok Tribe chairman, and all the other tribes that were all part of the scam to remove the dams because of the magic fish. They'll be saying, well, more must be done because the magic fish have not returned. The magic fish have not returned, and oh my gosh, and the sacred monument ended up burning down at one point. Gee, we're really sorry that there's no pooled water any longer to fight the fire over there. Any fires that happen, you know, you can't dip into the mud in just a little stream in the summertime. But maybe within the next 5-10 years, they'll be saying, gosh, you know, here it is. We all signed on to this dam removal, and we just knew that it would restore the magic fish. The magic fish would come back. The magic fish that were never able to make it over the lava dam, where they ended up putting one of the Iron Gate. Was it the Iron Gate or Copco Dam? I forget what it was, but remember Captain Bill Simpson talked about finding the historical documents that there was this lava dam that had covered up. It was like 100 feet high. There was no way the fish were hopping over that. But yet everyone was in on the grift, right? As long as they were getting restoration money. And I guess this is what they're talking about with the Economic Tribal Justice Initiative, right? As long as there are hot checks coming out of the Pacific Corp ratepayers and the federal government and all the other gangrenes and the state of Oregon and the state of California, as long as the grift is coming in, then I guess there's economic justice. There's tribal justice going on there. But at some point within the next 10 years, I predict that there will be headlines with Yurok Tribe wondering why the fish runs have not been restored. Well, part of it is that river dries up, gets pretty low. A lot of the times, you know, traditionally, you take out all the dams, goes into a trickle, doesn't really help much, just saying. If it had been about the fish, and I will continue to insist this, if the Yurok tribe and all the other people that are celebrating the destruction of this power generating infrastructure and getting rid of the beneficial use of water for all, which is what the whole Klamath Project was about in the first place, if it was really about the fish, they could have inexpensively ended up leasing or renting those Woosh Enterprises hoses. Remember I was telling you about the invention? In fact, I talked to the CEO of that company a number of months ago, who can't get arrested in the gangrene world, apparently, because he has these devices that you could rent when there are salmon seasons or fish season, fish run seasons, and they have computers on them, and they identify fish that are supposed to go over the dam one way or another. If you really think it was the dam causing your problems with the fish, then you rent these machines, and it has like these big corrugated, kind of like vacuum cleaner tubes, but larger, and they have water running through them. And the computer takes a look at the fish and says, okay, this is a fish that needs to go over the dam, and opens a little gate, and it whooshes it over the dam, either direction, depends on how you have it set up. And it keeps the bad fish or predator fish, you know, from going up and down there too. So that only the good stuff ends up going up there. And, you know, you rent it for the season. You don't have to go out and build hundreds of millions of dollars in fish ladders or tens of millions of dollars in fish ladders, and it could be done. And I can still remember to this day the CEO of Woosh Enterprises of Seattle saying, here's the problem. The Greens don't want this solution. It is the solution to the fish problem, but they don't really want a solution to the fish problem. They just want the dams out. It's their religion. It's practically their religion here to destroy the infrastructure and deindustrialize the West. So remember this when you see all the happy stories on NBC5 or KDRV, you know, talking about, oh, the tribes are celebrating the dam. Just remember these stories a few years from now when the complaints will be that why aren't we getting good fish runs? And it must be that sediment that is clogging up all the fish beds and things like that. I don't, like I said, this is the kind of world that we're living in. We're being asked to believe a lot of things that just ain't so. You know, just like, a dude in a dress is a woman and, and the magic fish will return just because you take out the infrastructure that kept the river cool in the summertime for the fish. Interesting, interesting times. 6:31, we'll catch up on the rest of the news here in just a moment, and then we'll talk with Michael Williams. Michael Williams, a board director of the Medford 549C School District, under attack, being investigated. You know, it's you shouldn't be asking too many questions if you're working for government school, I guess. We'll get the latest from him next.
One of each, Forte VIN 807033, MSRP 21645, Sol VIN 920929, MSRP 21740, 3699, due 10K miles per year, zero security deposit, all incentives and discounts to dealer, plus tax, title, license, 150 registration, processing fee. Trading in a vehicle will not eliminate your debt. Negative equity applied to new loan balance ends 9/2/24.
The summer of savings is here with new Kias from $139 a month at Kia Medford. Now is the best time to get into a new Kia. Shop our huge selection and save. Get a new 2024 Kia Forte LXS or a new 2024 Kia Soul LX, just $139 a month lease, both for 24 months. Plus, once we make a deal at Kia Medford, we'll pay off your trade no matter how much you owe. Need credit? Go to KiaMedford.com to get pre-approved in less than 30 seconds with no effect on your credit score. Then find the Kia you really want, like new Fortes or Souls, just $139 a month. Don't miss the summer of savings going on right now at Kia Medford. Click KiaMedford.com.
Latest news brought to you by locally owned and operated Artisan Bakery Cafe in South Medford. It's a full-service cafe offering breakfast, lunch, and specialty coffees. You'll be wowed one bite at a time.
From the KMED News Center, here's what's going on. State economists project that Oregonians will receive almost $1 billion kicker tax credit in 2026 as personal and corporate tax revenues continue to exceed expectations, according to the latest quarterly economic and revenue forecast. The increased tax revenue also means that lawmakers will have an extra $676 million to spend in next year's legislative session. The Medford School Board voted to launch an independent investigation regarding one of their members after receiving a written complaint accusing an unnamed board member of inappropriate conduct. Michael Williams was the only member to vote no. Community members in attendance yelled cowards after the vote. There have been reports the investigation is related to the reassignment of Student Resource Officer Josh Doney. The Oregon State Marine Board is asking boaters to use caution over the Labor Day weekend. Users of any watercraft are required to have life jackets on board. Kids under 13 must wear a life jacket when the boat is moving. Bill Lunnan, KMED.
With SRN News, I'm Rich Thomason. The Supreme Court has ruled that a multi-billion-dollar Biden student loan giveaway scheme must remain on hold. The California Assembly has given final legislative approval to a bill providing up to $150,000 in home loan assistance to illegal aliens. That fate of that bill now rests with Governor Gavin Newsom. Powerful midweek storms leaving hundreds of thousands of utility customers in Michigan without power, and as a result, no air conditioning in the midst of the punishing heat wave. Kamala Harris, along with running mate Tim Walz, will sit for a pre-recorded interview today with CNN. The interview to air tonight at 9 Eastern Time on the network. And a veteran Washington, D.C. police officer is dead, accidentally shot while recovering a gun that had been tossed down a storm drain by a suspect. More details at srnnews.com.
If you're 65 or older, you know this. Seeing your health care costs go up and up is frustrating. And maybe you were just notified that your Medicare costs are increasing again, or you're just tired of the massive deductibles. Well, here's some good news. There's a program that can really help with this. It's MediShare 65 Plus. It's an affordable, reliable alternative. You can choose any Medicare provider. You get telehealth access anytime you need it. And MediShare 65 Plus is a low-cost option for those with Medicare Parts A and B, and it fills in the gaps where Medicare stops. MediShare is a Christian healthcare community that aligns with your faith. People actually pray for you, they encourage you, and it's proven too. It's been going strong for over 30 years now. So call now. You can get one low monthly price for up to 10 years. You're not stuck with increasing costs. You can do something about this today. Call MediShare 65 Plus Find out how much you can save. Call 833-SHARE-55. That's 833-SHARE-55. 833-SHARE-55.
Power outages are becoming more common. Patriot Electric can size you with the correct Generac generator backup system for when outages occur. Whether you need a powerful portable or a whole house system to power your house, barn, shop, and pump house, a flip of a switch will produce power when you need it the most to pump water and provide essentials like AC and refrigeration. Call Patriot Electric and get your own Generac generator, an investment you'll never regret. We are Generac sales, installation, and service professionals. Visit PatriotElectricOregon.com.
If you have an Alexa device, you can listen to great news and talk anytime by first asking Alexa to enable KMED. After enabling the skill, you can listen to the most popular talk personalities like Bill Maher and Lars Larson, plus local news and weather 24 hours a day by just asking Alexa to play KMED. Alexa streaming on KMED is made possible by Megan McPherson at Farmers Insurance. Father and Son Jewelry, Hardcastles Trailers, and Pacific Healthcare Training.
You're hearing the Bill Myers Show on 106.3 KMED.
6:37, Michael Williams, the most dangerous individual on the Medford 549C School Board of Directors, is joining the program. I'm having a little fun with you this morning, Michael. I hope you understand and can appreciate that, but welcome back. Welcome back. Good talking with you.
Certainly, Bill. It's truly a pleasure. And let me first say that the views expressed here are of my own personal opinion as an individual elected official and not that of the board.
And you have said that every time that we've had a conversation. You've made it clear that it's your opinion, not the opinion of the board. And so you weren't speaking on behalf of the board. But I do find it fascinating that you are under investigation in the district right now, and you came on the program a number of weeks ago with this conversation about what happened with the school resource officer, Josh Doney, being reassigned, and you were concerned about it. If you can catch people up, people who may have just heard this story for the first time, I don't know how, but you know, if you can kind of tell us where your concerns rose and how we're getting to the point where now you're being investigated. Like to find out more.
Certainly. So I raised concerns back in late February, early March, because it was brought to my attention that there was an individual who had brought a firearm to school. Now, let's be clear. This mm-hmm. wasn't a rifle that was sitting in the back of a window of pickup truck. This was a handgun that was being carried on person and used as a form of self-defense. And so I had some questions around that, but more generally speaking, I was just concerned about the security and safety of our schools in a broader sense. This was just one piece that I felt that was worth asking questions about. You know, I was there for the negotiations with the Medford Education Association. And as part of those negotiations, they brought up several situations wherein there were some behavioral issues and there were some issues with safety in the classroom and in the schools more generally. So I went to the schools with that information and with the desire to understand more about that, to determine whether or not there was absolutely anything that could be done on the board level. And what I discovered was that there was an issue around how the students were being tracked whenever it came to after they brought a firearm to school. And not only that, whether or not they were being expelled or suspended, or even after being expelled or suspended, and even being put on a Medford Online Academy, whether or not they were continuing to appear in the schools. And so,
all right, now if I to be clear here, I know we can't speak about the names of specific people involved here, but are we talking about you were concerned that people were coming back into the school system without being properly vetted, or were they being kicked out and sort correct. Of being left? So it was the first. So you're concerned about people who had expressed violent tendencies coming back in.
So that is correct. So this is a matter of how efficiently our district was holding, or rather keeping track of individuals that had the tendency to bring not only firearms, but just generally weapons to school with the intent to use them for self-defense or otherwise. And I discovered that there was a specific district policy that would enable us to re-examine how we were tracking these students. And not only that, the extent to which they were limited, their access was limited to our schools and other students. This was a policy that was identified by a school resource officer and that was brought to the manager of facilities, who could have brought it to the board. However, the individual that brought this initial issue up was told that this was not going to be something that would be brought forward to the board. And so I independently discovered this.
Yeah, okay, so they just there was hired help working for the school district, then deciding that we're just going to hide information from the board? We're not going to bring this up?
What I can say is that I can state this based upon information that has been brought to me, that I, speaking for myself, that there has been information that has been kept from me out of either fear of that information coming to light publicly, or because the information was deemed, quote unquote, too political to be discussed in a public forum.
Yeah. Okay. All right. Now, we're talking about public school systems here, Michael. Michael Williams, by the way, with me, 549C school board director, member of the board. These are public school kids, lots of parents with a dog in this fight. You also have children within the district. So you also have, big dog in the fight, right? And when they talk about something being too politically hot, what? Talking the truth about potential school violence and safety issues, that's too hot to bring up to the board? What, the board's not qualified to have a conversation on these sort of things? Is that what we're supposed to believe? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but it just sounds that way to me.
Yes, and what I'd like to make very clear to you is this. Whenever I discovered that there could have potentially been, of course, I can't say this necessarily. I can only say this allegedly, that there were people in our district telling other people that they shouldn't be talking to school board directors, that they shouldn't be raising certain issues because they were too political, and that those people could be reporting directly to the superintendent, and this is under the superintendent's purview. Whenever I was bringing these things up as a school board director, I requested that there are 12 criteria under which things can be discussed under executive session, so that people understand you have executive session, and that is
those are the things that you can keep stuff secret from the public, right? Personnel matters, contract negotiation, things like that, right?
Yes. I even asked to have this conversation, even if it were in executive session, and I was denied that opportunity. I, as a school board director, was denied that. I was even asking if we could have this conversation as a board. It is the reason why I came forward. I took every step that I knew I could take to responsibly deal with a very sensitive issue that I had identified. And unfortunately, after going to the school board chair and the superintendent, they chose not to disclose what the reasons were behind the reassignment of the school resource officer. And
okay, could you confirm, are you free to confirm whether or not Doney was reassigned because of the political hotness of the issues being brought up about school violence potential and problems with students either not being vetted or not being kept out of schools with violence problems. I mean, can you confirm that's what this was all about, and that's why he was really reassigned? Do we know for sure? Do you know for sure?
Here's what I can say. I cannot confirm that that was the reason. What I can say is that there was correspondence that identifies that the facilities manager had stated that they did not trust the person in question. That correspondence again is
all right. They didn't trust the school. In other words, they didn't trust the school resource officer to keep his mouth shut.
Well, I can't say that. What I can say is that what happened was this: there was a time wherein I identified an issue that was brought forward by a school resource officer, and that subsequently was dismissed. I felt that it was important that that issue was brought to light, identified, and dealt with. And once I had done that, and let me be completely clear here, I had a meeting with the security, safety and security and facilities manager, because I was aware that this information was brought to him by the SRO. And I went to them because there it became also apparent to me that the SRO, there was concern that they might be reassigned or removed from South after revealing this information to me. People need to understand there's a concept of chain of command. And there was the idea that this individual had gone to a board member, jumping the chain of command, and that's not what happened. And so I went to the securities manager, and I was trying to make it clear to them that, hey, listen, you know, I understand that there is some tension that's now been created in the workplace as a result of this happening. I understand that there is a fear that this individual could be reassigned or removed. And so what I want to tell you is that I do not support going after an individual because they spoke up about an issue.
Okay, you know, Michael, the part that as a taxpayer who pays a lot of money to Medford 549C each year, just like you do, all right? When I hear this kind of jumping the chain of command, you and the other board members and the board directors on Medford 549C school board are duly elected. And you talked about it being too politically hot, right? But it's a political process that puts you in the office to monitor what's going on there anyway. You're doing your job when you're paying attention. And frankly, Brett Champion, and I hate to say it, to put it this way, because it just irritates me to my core, Brett Champion, the superintendent, is hired help. He's not your boss. And neither is the security guy there, okay?
That is correct. And one of my biggest frustrations is that from the beginning of this, I went to my board chair, and the board chair went to the superintendent, and they were given some information about what happened. And then whenever I went to my board chair to get that information, I was denied that information, and I was referred over to the superintendent. I am a duly elected board member. I don't understand. The thing that breaks my heart in all of this is that, you know, let's understand what a yes vote means on this investigation. Mm-hmm. Let's understand that briefly.
And by the way, so your fellow board members voted to investigate you, or how did that work out? What happened with that? I forgot to ask you that.
So the investigation on the board member, what a yes vote means, essentially, is that either A, they want more information. I don't really understand exactly what the complaint is about. Mm-hmm. I'd like to understand what it's about in an objective way.
And by the way, the person who filed the complaint, I would imagine, is probably one of the members, what I will continue to say, hired help in the district, okay? It's not a board member that actually called for the investigation. It's hired help within the district, right? Working for the schools?
What I can say is that it was not a board director that requested or that filed the complaint.
The complaint.
That is correct.
Now, is the complaint about you, Darren, jumping the chain of command, as the case might be? Is it one of those kind of complaints? Can you even speak to that?
So, what I can say is that if you look back to the executive session, and if you mm-hmm. look back, and this is all public knowledge. When we go into executive session, it has to be a part of one of 12 criteria to discuss certain issues. Listen very closely, having to do with a public official, a employee, or staff, and their I'm trying to be very careful here, Bill.
Yeah, I know there's lawyers involved. I understand you got to be careful. All right, I get it.
And it has to do with staffing or employment issues. So what I can say is, if you'll allow me to actually read the statute,
okay,
it is statute ORS 192.660 to review and evaluate the employment related performance of the chief executive officer of any public body, a public officer, employee, or staff member who does not request an open hearing. So what I can say is that this complaint was not filed by a board director.
Okay.
And one could assume that the complaint is associated with what people have been seeing in the news media as of late.
Okay. All right. So we'll take that then as a confirmation without saying it's confirmation. Okay. Now, remember, this is just your opinion. You said this right from the beginning. Now, what can be the result of the investigation being brought by, as I'll term it, the hired help against you, being one of the board directors actually trying to investigate school safety then in Medford 549C school district then? What can be done to you?
Allow me to speak hypothetically.
Okay.
Here.
All right.
Let's just say, hypothetically, there is a individual that is outspoken about the behaviors of an employee in our district. And let's just say that individual feels or fears that it could be not very positive whenever it comes to their public appearance or character, what have you. So if one is voting yes on a complaint that might be associated with that employee's feelings about how they are portrayed publicly, and the investigation shows that in some way, perhaps, this individual could have either A, created a hostile work environment, or B, said or did something that might have put that person in a negative light publicly, then that lays the foundation for that person to potentially pursue a defamation lawsuit of some kind. That's, again, if the yes vote is given, the investigation takes place, and the findings of that investigation points to the possible defamation of that said individual.
Of that said individual, you're talking about the employee who filed the complaint would be defamed.
If an employee files a complaint, yes.
Mm-hmm. But yet it would appear that it would appear, given what you have talked about, your opinion of what has been going on here, that this employee was conducting him or herself in such a manner as to keep necessary information that the public should know, keeping it away from the board, which is our duly elected representatives that are there to, to watch the hen house, so to speak. You're the guard dogs, right?
what I would find very fascinating, Bill. And the question that people should ask is about the timing of this particular complaint. And once the complaint comes to light as to, you know, what the particular subject matter is, go back to the hypothetical situation that I described.
Could you be removed from office for this? Could you be removed for this?
I don't have the knowledge presently. I don't have the knowledge as to whether or not that could be a potentiality. What I can say is that if this complaint is about a school board director coming from an individual in the district, if that were to be the case, and that it was proven to be quote unquote well founded, that is to say, the party investigating says that it has merit, then a couple things could potentially happen. A follow-up lawsuit of some kind could potentially occur, or there could be, if this is about a board director, there could be a vote to censure that board director.
Got it.
Now, censuring that can result in a couple different things based upon the circumstances. Either A, there can be, this is based on my basic understanding at this point, it could be that the ability for this person to vote could be limited. I don't know. Or could there be a vote to remove them from the board? I've been told that that's possible, but I can't say for certain at this point.
All right. Michael Williams, a fascinating conversation. I know you are having to speak precisely and carefully. I understand that and appreciate that. You can also understand how I get so irritated from this entire, from the beginning of this story. This was information that should have been out before the board, in my opinion, early on. It should have been aired in open school board talk. There should have been no secrets about this. And everything should have been done above board on this one. And for political reasons, or whether it's to prevent from being embarrassed, or it just is too hot, as you had mentioned in one form or another, I think the district, I'm sorry, I think that, you know, the people who are actually not the board, but the people who are not the board, but actually, you know, employees have been doing the wrong thing, protecting the institution or protecting the bureaucracy rather than protecting the kids and keeping people informed. And that's how I see it. That's my opinion. Is that a feeling that you are sympathetic with or not? Because I'm so irritated at the inmates running the, I mean, we're looking at this all over, Michael, in which employees, public employees, think that they own the institutions and then they run them. No, you're supposed to run them via Brett Champion, the superintendent. You're the ones that supervise this, really. Yeah.
It is so frustrating, Bill. It is so frustrating because there are so many things that if we, my goodness, there are opportunities for our community to come together around some of the most challenging issues facing our schools and our kids. There's so many opportunities for us to rebuild trust with our community. And all it takes is a conversation. I wanted nothing. Let me be very clear on this. I wanted nothing more than for us to discuss this in an open session. I've got to be careful here. What I believe, what my assumption is, and I cannot state this for a fact, obviously, but there was a desire not to discuss this issue publicly or name the people who are involved in the complaint. I want nothing more than to be able to provide that transparency that you are talking about, Bill, and I'm trying desperately to do that, which is why I was willing to come here and have this conversation with you this morning at some degree of risk to myself.
All right.
But I believe that that is what this role calls for.
And I appreciate and admire your, you know, your push on this one. We are behind you. And anytime you wish to share with the people what's really going on there behind the scenes, because I think, you know, they're concerned about it too. They have their parents, their grandparents, they have children within the district, and there's a lot of money involved in here too. And it's sad that you put yourself at great personal risk here, apparently, just to talk about the truth of what some employees may be doing over in Medford 549C School District and the board trying to get a handle on these issues. And Michael, anytime, just keep us in the room. And is there a timetable on the investigation, given that you're the most dangerous school board member that I've ever spoken to recently?
There isn't a timetable as of yet. What people need to understand is that the individual who is responsible for conducting the investigation must be hired, and then they are going to go through their own process. And so currently there isn't a timetable. Bill, if I may, I just want to say one thing quickly, and I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to every single person that took it upon themselves to come to a school board meeting. I want to say thank you not because they came there to support me. I want to say thank you because when you show up, you support our kids and you support the people who are responsible for taking care of our kids. Please keep coming because your voice and your presence matters so much, far more than you know. It's the same reason why we tell people to vote. Mm-hmm. Well, it's in the same way that it's important for you to go to the ballot box. Whether you agree with me or not, whether you're left, right, or center, your voice matters, and accountability matters, and transparency matters, and it means something. It means something to me. It means something to our kids. It means something to our parents. It means something to our faculty in our schools, and it means everything to our community every time you show up to a school board meeting. So from the bottom of my heart, I want to say thank you to every person that shows up. I want to say thank you to every single person who takes that risk of using their voice to point out a problem in our community, to point to something that they know can and should be better. We all stand together when we do that. Mm-hmm. So for every single person, not just the people that came to the last meeting, but every single person that's been coming to the meetings, every person that's used their voice, I want to say thank you. Keep coming. You are welcome, and your voice matters.
Michael Williams, Medford 549C School Board Director. We appreciate you coming on. Be well, Michael. We'll talk again, I'm sure.